Amen. Thank you, ladies. Let's all stand, if you would. Psalm 113, if you would, please, this morning. Psalm 113. I asked the ladies ensemble to sing that song. We're going to introduce it as a congregational here in a few weeks. And it kind of, in this culture where everybody thinks they know everything, a song like The Unsearchable Riches of Christ kind of runs counterculture, don't you think? And so one of the many reasons why I love those old hymns, The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. So I'd encourage you to go through and read those words. We'll sing it for a congregational here in a few weeks. But I appreciate the ladies singing that song. Psalm 113, hopefully you've made your way there. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Psalm 113, we're going to read the whole psalm, all 9 verses. Okay, I think you can handle it. Psalm 113, verse 1, here's what it says. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Verse 4, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. You know, I was reminded as I was studying for the message here, it's kind of been a thought in the back of my mind for a while. Those of you who have children can probably relate. Elizabeth and I were trying to figure out what to name our daughter. And so, your first instinct is you want to incorporate a family name most of the time, But they have books now, 25,000 plus baby names. Have y'all seen those? 25,000 baby names. I know about 12 Johns. So I'm wondering, where are all the names going? I don't know. But as we consider Psalm 113, here's the thought I want us to go with. There are many names, but there's really only one that matters the most. There are many names, but there's really only one that matters the most. And we'll get that out of Psalm 113, the first 3 verses specifically. But let's go ahead and pray, ask the Lord's help for what's going to be done here in just a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in services this morning. And while there are many that are missing, we pray that you might speak through your word anyway. And we know that it's not the speaker that brings the power, it's your word that does. And I pray that that might be the case today. If there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that today might be the day they come to that understanding, as many of us already have. And those of us who are saved, I pray that you might continue to work in our lives. May we never think that we're too good to hear from you. And I pray that as the services go on today, that you might be with the children downstairs as they learn these things as well, and that we might be sensitive to your leading today. Love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You all may be seated. There are many names, but there's really only one that matters the most. So in Psalm 113, you probably caught on to it in the first 3 verses. Every verse mentions the name of the Lord. Let's go ahead and read it one more time. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the what? The name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Can I draw your attention to something really quickly? And that is that the psalmist, as he's writing, doesn't make mention of the things that the Lord has done by way of physical blessings. The psalmist doesn't make a point to say, Lord, thank you for blessing me with money. Thank you for blessing me with my family. Thank you for blessing me with this. Thank you for that. No, the psalmist calls us to praise him just because of his name. It might do us well to remember and maybe consider in our own lives, maybe instead of thanking God for the things he's given us, maybe just thank him for who he is. Maybe just thank him for the fact that we have a God who's worthy to be praised. You understand there's people all around the world who worship a statue or who worship little trinkets on their shelves, but we serve a God whose name alone is worthy of our praise. Don't you think that's good this morning? Even if I'm the one who's saying it, that's good stuff. There's really only one name that matters the most. You know, when we consider names and what they're for, there's many reasons why we give names. But I think there's some obvious ones, and we're going to start here and kind of wander into the deep end of the pool here in a minute. Okay? All right, so names are first for recollection, right? So you remember who somebody is. And some of us aren't even good at that. Yeah, that. Yeah, me too. We're not very good at recollection, are we? You hear a name, you know, of somebody that's not in front of you, and you think, oh, yeah, that's that guy. But names are meant to be for recollection, okay, so that we might remember who it is that we're referencing or who we're talking to. Names are for recollection. Everybody got that okay? Do you remember my name? Probably not. That's okay. And so names, secondly, are for recognition, right? So recollection, remembering who somebody is, but also for recognition. You know, maybe there's somebody at work and their name carries a lot of authority or a lot of power. And so there's people that we can think of probably in all of our lives in which when you say their name, it brings a certain amount of respect along with it. You tracking with me here? And so names are for recognition. And I think also names are for giving respect. I mentioned that with recognition already, but certain names carry amounts of gravity to them, a certain amount of authority to them. And I would even say that there are some names and titles, right, that bring some respect. You know, we ought to be respectful of the folks in authority over us. I'm not saying you have to like them, but I am saying that they ought to have our respect. There might be some politicians or some police officers or some folks that have an office that you may not like the person, but the office is worthy of the respect that it should have. And so that's not necessarily a name per se, but it's a title, and we're going to track that along with us this morning. But there are many purposes behind names. You know, I mentioned already when Elizabeth and I were getting ready to name our daughter, we cracked open that 25,000 list of baby names. We didn't make it past the A's. That's how tired I was of it. Her name is Amelia. And so we just kind of gave up right about there. But names they're for a certain purpose. You know, we didn't want our daughter to live life by, hey, you, come here. You know, hey, little girl, come over here. No, we wanted the name. Because names in our lives take up more than what we think. Okay, names, especially in Bible times, which we'll get to here in a second, but names should have some sort of an effect. You know, my first name is Mason. It's French, and it's for stonemason. I'm neither French nor a stonemason. And so some of you may have names like that as well, but in which it doesn't describe necessarily who you are. But you understand that the names of God are important, because the names of God tell us about who He is. And so we're going to look at a few things in regards to the name of God, and specifically the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody still with me? Okay, so that's sermon number one. Let's wade into number two. So let's get into our outline here. Number one, the name of Jesus demands recognition. It demands recognition. Let's head over to Isaiah chapter 9, if you would, please. This is the verse on just about every Christmas card that's ever been. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his what? His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." All these names are listed out individually because they all describe the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe words matter in the Bible. And so when it says his name shall be, name is one, singular there. But it goes on to list five names. Why is that? Because it's still describing the same person. All five of these titles, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, they all give a different glimpse into who Jesus was before he even was. Does that make sense? Because you understand, Jesus as the Son of God, he existed long before Mary carried him in her womb. And those five titles given to the name of the child that she should carry gives us a glimpse into who he would be. And so, I think that's important, don't you? Now, why does that matter? Why does something like this matter? Because like us, we have a name, but our name does not describe everything that we are. As I mentioned earlier, my name is French, and it means stonemason. I don't do either one of those things. I'm not either one of those things. But every one of Jesus' titles, every one of his names points us to a different aspect of who he is. He is, in fact, look down at verse number 6, he is, in fact, Wonderful. He is a Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. He is each of those things. And all of those titles, all five of them, point us to a singular name, and that is Jesus. The names of Jesus tell us who He is, and that alone demands recognition. There's not a place that you can go and mention the name Jesus and somebody won't understand who you're talking about. His name carries great recognition. Head over with me to Luke chapter 1, if you would please. Luke chapter number 1. A little bit of turning this morning, but I think you can handle it. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31, if you would please. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31. Here's what it says. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. That was the earthly name given to him. But remember, Isaiah chapter 9 verse number 6 gave us an aspect of who he is. And so when Mary carried Jesus, the earthly form of the Son of God, he was given a physical name, which was Jesus. And that's the name that we liken him to here today. Would y'all agree with that? We have all sorts of hymns written, all hail the power of Jesus' name. And we have all of these hymns and all these scriptures that point us to the name Jesus. But you understand he's much more than just that name. There's a whole person that is described throughout the entire Bible about who Jesus is. God named his son long before the culture called for it, because he wanted his son to have the recognition of a child that is uncommon. You know, it was very uncommon for a Jewish person to name their child before they were born. A lot of times they would name them days after they were born. And so Jews today even exercise that. They might have a family name that they want them to carry, or they might have some idea of who it is, but they would not introduce the child until after the child was born. You know, I remember when before Amelia was born, our families wanted to know more than anything what her name was going to be. They're driving us crazy. What's her name going to be? What's her name going to be? And we didn't tell anybody for a little while, mostly because we're indecisive, but also because, you know, it's an important thing to name a child, don't you think? She has to live with it for the rest of her life. But God named his son before he was born. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 31, this is before Mary was even carrying him. This was the angel coming to Mary and saying, you're going to carry a child, and you should be so sure of this that I'm even going to give you his name. I don't think we understand today how uncommon that would be for a Jewish person to hear and to understand. As I mentioned, in the Jewish culture, the parents would wait to name their child based upon normally their personalities, their traits, family names, obviously. But for God to have named his son before he was born would have been a huge deviation from the culture. And listen, the name of Jesus, even today, tune back in if you would please, the name of Jesus, even today, runs contrary to our culture. When God gave Mary that name, it went against what was typical, what was normal for the Jewish culture. Everything about Jesus was uncommon. Everything about him. And even today, regardless of how people try to deny Jesus' authority, deny his name still demands recognition, even among the most wicked on earth today. His name demands recognition. There is few people, if any, who has never heard the name of Jesus. And I understand that we live in a culture where the Bible is taught less and less. I understand that. But there are still people, most everybody you come in contact with knows Jesus. Knows the name at the very least. They don't know who he is. They don't know the gravity that his name should carry. They don't know the authority that he should have in their life, but they know his name. And so his name demands recognition. Everybody still okay? Yeah. All right, so secondly, the name of Jesus, it demands respect. Demands respect. Head over with me. We're already in Luke, but in Luke chapter 24, if you would please. Luke chapter 24, in verse number 47, Jesus' name demands respect. Luke 24, 47, here's what it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his what? In his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. It's only through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God in conjunction with the finished work of Jesus Christ that changes people's lives. And the name of Jesus does a work in a person's life that can barely be explained. I'm not saying that in order to have repentance and remission of sins, all you have to do is just cry out his name. That's not what I'm saying. But you have to know who he is first. You have to know his name. You have to know who it is you're crying out to. That doesn't make any sense, does it? To just cry out, I need to be saved, but not have anybody that you're talking to. No, you have to know who it is you're speaking to. His name, it has the power to blot out sin. It has the power to change hearts. It has the power to regenerate minds. And his name is the only reason that a person will be going to heaven or not. It is what you do with the knowledge of the name of Jesus Christ that makes the difference. Because you have to know who he is and what he did for you. Now listen, you can try all you want to deny his name, but at the end of the day, there's nothing that affects a person's life like the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus, unlike many names, number three, his name demands a response. Coming face to face with the name of Jesus, who he is, who the name references, you have to make a decision what you're going to do with it. You know, there's many people that I meet, Walmart, outreach, whatever. There's many people that we come in contact with, and I may learn their name, but it normally doesn't affect my life in a great way. Okay? If I just met you this morning, no offense by that, okay? But there's many people that we meet, we come in contact with, we shake hands, and we say, hey, nice to meet you, my name is Mason, and your name is whatever, okay? And they say their name, and then I might remember it, going back to that recognition thing, right? Many of us forget names very quickly, okay? Don't just leave me hanging up here. We all forget names very quickly, okay? And so that first impression, that first meeting, it often doesn't impact us very deeply. Is this making sense so far? But the name of Jesus is different in a lot of ways, but especially in the sense that when you hear the name of Jesus, it begs a response. Because when you're introduced to somebody for the first time, you learn their name, you immediately have an impression of them, don't you? Either good or bad. Okay? That's one of the things that we talk about with Welcome Couple and some of the hospitality things that we do around here. You know, first impression means a lot. Right? First impression means a lot. And so when you meet someone for the first time, you shake their hand, you're trying to learn some things about them, you already have an opinion formed by the time you walked away of who that person is. Okay? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, when his name is introduced, when his name is brought up to someone for the first time, it leaves an impression on them. Now, that should be something we keep in mind when we're knocking doors, don't you think? Because you're his representative as you talk to other people and as you live your life. But listen, the name alone of Jesus, it demands a response because every name brings an impression to mind. It brings an impression. Let's look at this. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, let's read a few verses here, starting in verse number 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a what? A name, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Look at verse number 10 with me. That at the name of Jesus. Not even accounting for the things that he's done in your life. Not even accounting for the word of God that you hold in your laps this morning. But at his very name, every knee should bow. There isn't another name like that. There are names, if you go to different cultures, different countries, when someone of authority is announced, people can be forced to bend the knee. People can be forced to comply. This is not that. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9, if you can even imagine such a thing, there will be a time in which at the name of Jesus, you will instinctually, involuntarily bow the knee. And in this culture where people think that I am my own authority, I am my own God, people have said those things, you know. People who are the most ardent about I am my own authority, they will be one of the ones, along with all of us, who will bend the knee involuntarily. There will be no fighting. There will be no excuses. Because His name carries that much authority. And listen, I understand that today we look out in the culture and it seems like God isn't working like we think He should. Why doesn't God just make people do it? Why doesn't God just make people recognize His authority? I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. I do know that every man has a choice. But there will come a time when you will no longer have a choice. And you will have to bow your knee. So I guess the question, and I'm not done, so don't worry. We still got a lot more. My question is this. Would you rather bow the knee voluntarily or involuntarily? Would you rather recognize Him now or be forced to later? Because it says in Philippians 2, verse number 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It doesn't say every knee except for Mason. Every knee except for fill in your name. You will have to recognize it. There's no other name that has been given or ever will be given that demands a response such as this. The choice must be made when confronted with the name of Jesus, whether in this life or in the next. Will you choose to bow to Him or will you be forced to? I believe with all my heart that one day we're going to have to answer that question. And listen, I understand that this is a Sunday morning, and I understand that, you know, a lot of times we want to come to church and we want to get affirmed in what we believe. I understand all that, but that's not who Jesus is. Jesus did not have a mission of coming to earth and just reaffirming what you already know. In fact, Jesus' teaching runs directly contrary to everything I want Him to teach. Does that make sense? I want Him to tell me I'm a good person. I want Him to tell me I'm already doing all the right things. I want Him to tell me the music that I listen to and the people I hang around and all of these things are already how they should be. But that is not who Jesus is. Jesus is holy and He is pure and He is righteous. He is all of the things that I am not. And His name carries great authority. And when God says, don't do this, I should not do that. When God's word says, do not hang around this type of person, the Bible says these things, by the way, when it says, do not hang around this type of person, I shouldn't do that. Because if nothing else, refer back to Psalm 113, His name alone is worthy of our praise. And it's at His knee, when it's all said and done, or it's at His name, that we will bow the knee. Just at His name alone. There is no greater authority than that. There are people that I report to at work, I don't bow a knee to them. There are politicians, I don't bow the knee to them. There are all of these authorities in our life. Authority should be obvious for us. Say amen if you agree with that. Amen. We all have authority in our life. If you don't believe me, don't show up to work tomorrow and see what happens. You do that long enough, you're not going to have a job. Why? Because there's an authority. There's a structure. There are things in place to make you behave a certain way. What do you think God in the Bible is? God is the authority. He's given you the standard operating procedure. He's given you the manual for life. Why would you think that it would be any different than a workplace? You go to work, you have a boss, you have standard operating procedures. This is how you should behave in the workplace. If you don't do it, you'll get fired. Everybody got that okay? We got a lot of military in the room. Y'all understand that okay? All right? Now, in the spiritual world, in the spiritual life, our authority is God. And He's given you His word. And in His word, it says, you should be this type of person. You should be someone that contributes to society. You should be a person that takes care of your home. You should be a person that goes to church. You should exhibit these behaviors. Everybody tracking with me, okay? And that, the word of God, is going to be the measuring stick. That is going to be the thing that you are held to. And if you refuse to even acknowledge the name of God, the one who wrote the book, you ain't going to make it. You're not going to make it. His name alone is all the authority that we need in our lives, because it demands a response. Of all the things, of all the rules and all the procedures and all the policies that we have in our life, there should be nothing that supersedes the Word of God. Because the one who wrote it is already above all. I think that's an important point, don't you? Of all the names on earth, there are many that everyone recalls and recognizes. There's plenty of names I could stand up here and say, and we would all go, yep, I haven't met that person, but I know who they are. I know what they look like. However, there's only one name that demands a response, and that's the same that every person will bow a knee to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, the name of Jesus Christ is often perverted and it's often disparaged by those who hate God and who hate the Word of God. And the amount of denial these people engage in does not take away from the fact that we will all bow a knee. I don't care how loud they are. There are groups of people that their only mission in life, it seems, is to tear down God and to tear down His Word and to doubt and to cause doubt in the minds of the in the minds of church members. No matter how loud they are, no matter how voracious they are, they will still have to bow the knee just like you and I. Now listen, you can choose to respond today to the Lord Jesus Christ in one of two ways. It's just that simple, one of two ways. You can either acknowledge who He is, or you can deny who He is. And that's it. To be apathetic, to be indifferent, is the same result as to deny. See, the thing about mentioning the name of Jesus Christ, the thing about actually standing upon it, is that it has a way of dividing people. Because you have to make a choice. You know, almost every church around here, I don't want to say every church, almost every church around here, they act like it's their job to bring everybody together. You know, let's just all come together. Let's just all be unified. Let's just all be friends and tolerate one another. I'm not saying we should hate people, but I am saying that the name of Jesus Christ will have a cause and effect, which is you present His name, you stand firm upon it, and people will accept it or they won't. It's not our job when we came to services today to all hold hands and be reaffirmed in our beliefs. That's not why we're here today. We're here today because hopefully many of us, if not all of us, have already chosen and recognized the name of God in our lives. And we've responded to Him in a way that has granted us salvation. Because Christ didn't just come just to come, just to be here. He came to complete a work. You know the reason why every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord? The reason behind that is because of the work that He did. Now, His name is enough. But when He came, He was given the name Jesus over in Luke chapter 1, verse number 31. When God gave Mary the name, He went on to live a life. And in that life, He did no wrong. In that life that He lived, about 33 years or so, He healed people and He taught people and He did miraculous things. But more important than all of that is what He finished in His life. He hung upon a cross so you and I wouldn't have to. He bore the sin that you and I have that we're born with. You know, my daughter, when she was born, she wasn't perfect. She looked perfect, but she was not. Inside, she's a sinner, just like I am, just like her mother is. And that is the gift that we pass along to our children. Not so much of a gift, is it? It's because of you that your child instinctually wants to yell no. Congratulations, Mom and Dad. That's what we're born with. But the finished work of Christ was completed. It was done. He died and He rose again so that you and I might have an opportunity to go to heaven. Amen. But much more than that, we're not just guaranteed heaven. We're guaranteed the blessings of God now. We're guaranteed the blessings of God today. You know, so many times when we hear messages about salvation, it's all focused on heaven. I'm not saying we shouldn't focus on heaven. Heaven is a pretty good retirement plan. What do you think? Heaven sounds pretty good. But what about our lives today? You know that it's possible to wake up every day and to be happy to be alive. It's possible to wake up and to be grateful. It's possible to wake up and not hate everybody. It's possible to go through your life with the confidence and assurance of knowing that I am right with God. Amen. And something that breaks my heart is the fact that many people don't even see the benefit of that. It's possible to accept and acknowledge the name of Jesus Christ and prompt a response in your life, even today, even right now if you haven't already done so, to come down to an altar where we will open the Word of God and show you exactly what Jesus did for you, to show you the hope that many of us in the room have today. You know, to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church, one of the biggest prerequisites, there's really only two, but the biggest one is to be saved. Right. And to be saved is a good thing. Would y'all agree with that? It's a good thing. It's good to be saved from hell. It's good to be saved from condemnation. Those things are good. But what's even better is how God is continually working our lives to be better. I've noticed that as I've gotten older, my decision-making has changed. Okay, I now think of things like, I have a family to take care of. It used to just be me. You know, my decision-making reflected that. Now I need to measure the decision that I make. How's it going to impact my wife and my daughter? Okay, that's part of growing up. It's part of maturing. But I've also noticed that over the years that I've been saved, I want to come to church. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why I like you all so much. I want to come to church. I want to sing songs. My want-tos have changed.
That's right.
You know, it's not strange for someone who hasn't accepted the name of Jesus, someone who hasn't been saved. It's not strange for them to want to go to the sports game on Sunday. It's not strange. Because their desires have not yet been changed. But if you've truly accepted Christ as Savior, your behaviors will change. Everything in your life will change. But I would submit to you, that's exactly what we need in our culture today. Just about everything in our culture needs to change. But there's only one name, there's only one person who can do that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts with you. You can be the change in your workplace. You can be the change in your family. You can be the change in your neighborhood. You can be the change by believing in His name. Let's all stand if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Of all the names that we could mention, there's really only one that's the most important. And my hope and prayer this morning is that you've accepted this name, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. Many people acknowledge who He is. Many people have gone to church when they were kids. And while that's good, that doesn't cause change in your life. But believing in His name and trusting, as the Bible lays out in the gospel, in the good news of His death, burial, and resurrection, in the person that He was, that will change your life forever. Here in just a moment, the pianist is going to play. And this is just giving you an opportunity to respond how God would have you to respond. If you feel like God would have you come down to the altar, then you ought to come down to the altar. If you think that you've never accepted Christ as Savior and you just want answers, well, we can deal with that too. We'd be happy to tell you what the Word of God says about Jesus and who He is and what He can do for you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being in services this morning. We thank You for Your word most of all, and for the truths therein. And I ask that if there's someone here that isn't sure that they're saved, that they might believe in your name today. Because of all the things and all the belief systems there are, yours is the only one that matters. And I pray that you be with those of us who are saved. May we be mindful of who you are and who it is that we serve. I pray that you bless the invitation time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano's going to play. Why don't you come on down?